Welcome to episode 402 of Troubadours and Raconteurs, with yours truly, E.W. Conundrum Demure. On this week's episode, we start off the brand new season, as usual, with Almighty Todd, farmer, winemaker, sensei, and our resident philosopher. And we talk about truth and reconciliation, from Yule to Imbolc, and some winter sustenance, among other things. A grand conversation with our resident philosopher, Almighty Todd. We have an EW essay titled Champagne, and we share some real statistics as gathered by Harper's Magazine for their December 2020 edition's Harper's Index. Good stuff. And we also have a poem called Foundation. All of this will be imbued, infused, with the wonderful energy of several great tunes. It is so nice to have you with us. Let's get to it. Episode 402 of Troubadours and Raconteurs. Champagne. Brisket and cream cheese the morning after New Year's Eve, with thoughts of our challenges that we know and those not showing yet, the love lost, gained, to come, and the pride and regret into character aplomb. The smell of coffee in my cup as my family stirs awake in our home. I want to be a good man. I'd like to better understand who you are and who I am, but my head is still a bit foggy with last year's experience and the physical aftermath of too much beer, whiskey, and champagne. Such a privileged life relative to many others, though difficult in most ways the same. The things that I wrestle with are judgment and blame. I suppose those two are intrinsically connected with just the right touch of shame. Is there one without the other? I look out the picture window facing south. A neighbor, whose name I do not know, though we both supported Joe Biden over the other guy's crazy twists and shouts. He walks his white, fluffy little dog and waves to me hello. He is an ally, I think, if we ever in this country reach the brink of societal tumult. And then I look up at the clouds and imagine that we are in Humboldt County, California, listening to scarlet begonias. And all was as clear and open and easy as I once seemed to feel back in the day. Though now I wonder to what extent true and how real and to what end. Though I know now and then the birds, blue, brown, gray, red, and orange, fly and sing, it is not pretend. This winter, once again, will turn into spring with natural zeal, despite the girth of your stockpile of bling or the fashion you feel. Ka-ching! Can you hear the wind waves breathe and sunbeams weave the spectrum of light throughout every day into every night? A wondrous measure of pure delight.
I'm never gonna drink again. At least not with the finer men. Oh, well, at a celebration, offering libations from the Appalachian, I couldn't resist one little kiss. But now the backache thrill is gone. I didn't mean to lead you on. My heart was not the one behind this amatory crime. No champagne does it every time. I got no hope. I'm such a dope in wine historiography. You'll find me under.
Almighty Todd, is that you?
It is. Is that you, Conundrum?
It is me, EW Conundrum, here in the thick of, I guess you could say, the holiday season for Troubadours and Rock On Tours, our regular contributor. He's a farmer, a winemaker, a sensei, and our resident philosopher straight out of Stockbridge, Vermont, Almighty Todd. How are things going?
Good to hear from you, man. It's been a while.
Yeah, last time we spoke was before the 2020 elections in
yes.
the States. Yeah.
Yes, big sigh of relief as well.
Yeah.
But still waiting with bated breath. We're doing okay. We're hanging in there up here in Vermont. We props to the neighborhood and the state, we're still managing to hold on here with a pretty low positivity rate and infection rate, but it's still going up for sure. And, you know, they're not happy about it, but we're still managing. Although there's a guy who's helping me on do the work on the house now, and he had a extended family member that got exposed in a doctor's waiting room, no less.
Oh, boy.
Somebody who didn't, in a masked waiting room.
Mm.
So from somebody who didn't know that they had it.
Yeah.
So it was like, go figure.
The pandemic has not ended. It's actually getting worse right now. Although we have a vaccine, a couple of them. Maybe a few of them shortly.
Yeah, there'll be a few in the end.
But yeah, it's getting worse here in the United States and elsewhere. I know I was talking to my mother today, and she was giving me the skinny, so to speak, on people that we know that that have the virus. I haven't heard that as much as I am now. So that leads me to believe it is getting around even more so now. And you know there's that strain that's even more highly contagious.
Yep, the one from the UK.
Yeah, it's here, I believe, on our continent as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just reported it in Colorado.
Our buddy Michael Harris out there in Colorado, hope he's okay with his family. Oh, boy, yeah.
Yeah. We'll get into it. But, you know, I'm deeply sorry. Deeply sorry that it's gotten to this, and that something that as a country we should have been able to rise up and knock this thing down and come up with the vaccine fast.
Well, yeah, yeah,
and,
I agree.
But there's been a corruption of the social contract and an agreement on some fundamental truths. So, it's going to take some time to straighten that out. Aside from this pandemic, it's like the mass anxiety that's been perpetrated upon the populace of this country, either by stoking anger unnecessarily or threatening parts of the populace with any manner of, you know, antisocial program. It's really, it's
coming from where are you hearing this or seeing this?
Oh, well, this is, I mean, from my perspective, this has been the outgoing administration's primary effort going all the way back to alternative facts.
Right, right.
It's been a straight line from that time. And I think that, you know, this corruption of agreed upon processes of determining objective truth is fundamentally fairly dangerous to modern society.
You know, I was watching last night with the family, Jojo Rabbit. I don't know if you've seen that movie.
I do not know that movie.
Oh, it's a good movie. It's steeped in the, you know, World War II Nazi Germany. And,
okay.
You know, there are people fighting the Nazis in it, you know, in their village, basically. You know, when it's clear that Nazi Germany has fallen, the people come out of their houses in the sense of relief and, you know, the sense of we have to rebuild and it's a new day. And also looking at how they were characterizing the Jews in particular, or anybody who didn't support the Nazis, there were parallels, I have to say, I'm sorry to say, to some of the mentality that was being stoked communicated across our country over the last 4 years. There's no doubt in my mind, it's very similar.
Yeah, well, it's fundamentally, it's a fascism process.
Yeah.
It is. And so that's why this whole being against Antifa is
anti-fascism, well, is what that stands for.
Which for. Exactly, is that you're being called out for it, and so you don't like them. So by saying that, you're actually acknowledging that, yeah, that's how you're behaving. Oh, yeah, it's just – that's what I mean is that the – I'm – you know, if George Carlin had been alive through this, he probably would have had a heart attack anyways.
Oh, yeah, he's a great a great mind, his view of society and the sense of humor he brought to the absurdity
politics
of it.
Bureaucracy,
is
yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah, we're talking to Almighty Todd, you know, again, right in between Christmas and, you know, Hanukkah and New Year's. So we're in between those holidays. I guess Ramadan will be coming up soon, too. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I know that follows the cycle of the moon. I don't think that's occurred yet. Just to hit some of the three big monotheistic religions. Probably others, other celebrations I am totally ignorant of, and I apologize. But nonetheless, the end of the year, so it gives us a time, an opportunity to reflect a bit. We're reflecting on the last 4 years, really, when we talk about the I don't even want to say his name, the 45th president and his administration and the Republican Party in the United States of America and their supporters. It's been an ugly time, and it's not over. It's not over, though we have, as you said, we've had a sigh of relief. We have the Democratic Party winning the election, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and we'll see where they go and how much they can repair. And you're talking to me about truth and reconciliation as a means by which we as a country can repair some of what the damage done to the social contract and the like.
Well, I wonder if that's what we need, or if that's even possible at this point. If it's still too close to the center of the thing, it's not. You know, it seems like I probably bit off more than I can chew throwing that at you. But it certainly seems like successful commissions that do, you know, truth and reconciliation work. There needs to be some space between when that happens and the actual actions leading to it, the need for that.
Yeah. Like apartheid in South Africa.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a prime example.
In other places. And I
South
I
America,
believe,
Argentina.
You know, I do have, maybe it's a belief because I'm not completely schooled enough in it, but a sense that restorative justice pathways are very useful ways to reform behavior, but also mitigate some of the harms and dissipate the ill will going forward.
Right.
Whereas when you have a completely punitive system, it doesn't leave as much room for repair. At the same time, some things that are illegal can't be let slide. So it's going to be a really interesting in the way of the Chinese curse, may you live in interesting times. to see how the balance is walked going forward.
What'd you say about the Chinese there?
Oh, there's a I should look it up because I knew it at one time and I don't remember how to say it, but it's the saying is, may you live in interesting times. But it's kind of a pejorative or like a curse, as I understand it.
It's not wishing you well.
Yeah.
It's wishing like, yeah, you know, have some turmoil.
Yeah, may you have to figure this out.
Gotcha.
So yeah, I mean, I'm hopeful. I'm always kind of optimistic, but as I get older, I get a little more skeptical. Based on the data, based on me trying to be objective about what I'm seeing, because you know, coming to an objective truth that everybody can agree upon means that the people that are agreeing upon it are putting aside or not letting play any of their pre-existing conditions, you know, either biases or partisan beliefs.
That's hard.
That's, yeah. So, you know, we're in a serious polarization state right now.
But if they could do it, if they could, we mentioned that these kinds of commissions have been put together successfully in South Africa, where, you know, talking about apartheid, which was brutal and evil, and also in Rwanda, I think,
mm-hmm.
genocide.
Those actually fell apart, I think, because the I have to go and look because there was
Rwanda?
Yeah, because basically the fighting escalated again. It's got, you know, but even people in South Africa, you know, have
criticized.
Yes, because in a lot of cases there really weren't, you know, things came to light that were recognized as objective truths that were really bad stuff, and the people who perpetrated them didn't. They, you know, there was amnesty.
Well, that's the whole. That's the whole, I guess, motivation. It's basically if you come clean and you explain why you did what you did, and then apologize and do all this earnestly and honestly, then you will not be punished. So that we can get to the root of it, we can understand why, and then you can take responsibility. We can move on and we can heal as a society, as a people. So yeah, I suppose if you weren't given that amnesty, the truth wouldn't happen. Thus, the reconciliation wouldn't mm-hmm. occur.
Yeah. So.
So people say, "Hey, we need some Nuremberg trials. We need to, you know." Or
well, there's that too. I mean, that may end up being the answer.
But in this country, my
concern is, I mean, there was a lot of bad stuff, but the level of corruption is just seriously disturbing. And to be saying we're going in to clean out the swamp and then just putrefying it, dumping toxic waste in it. You know, that swamp was actually maybe a wetland to some degree and was doing some good stuff, but it's been completely toxified now.
Now, yeah.
And so not only was there that corruption, because that can't happen again. That has to end. You know, we can't operate as a bureaucratic democracy with that level of insane misappropriation. And then I'd also, for the taxpayers of the United States, like to see that money come back.
Which money?
Any money that was stolen.
Well, here's the –
graft and corruption. I mean
– there's a lot of it.
Oh, yay, yay, yay.
Well, I want to ask you this. So do you think it's too much to sort of make equal what occurred in South Africa for years and years, what occurred in Rwanda and Argentina to what occurred in 4 years of number 45 as president? Is that a fair? Is that a fair comparison?
Should time frame matter at all if the egregiousness of the behavior was, you know, outlandish enough? I don't know.
Well, was it outlandish enough? Were people murdered? You know, were people...
Yeah. Well, I don't know. There's certainly migrants on the border whose conditions were not good. We don't know what happened to some people. I don't know how many hundred thousand Americans are dead now. 338,000
because of COVID,
maybe. Yeah, and it's happening in in congregate settings a lot of the time. So there's a lot of grandparents and a lot of convicts in a country where we have the highest number of detainees of any country in the world. So, I think some people have died because of this. Whether that was the intent or not, I don't know, but that could possibly be found out. So I don't know. We should probably move on, because this is going to be something that it's more like just a tune in. Like, okay, this, it's not over just because there was an election. There's still a lot of mess that's going to be rolling forward and mess to clean up. And so I think we just all need to be prepared for, just to keep our expectations realistic as part of our preparation for the new year.
Excellent. Okay, we'll move on. I think that's a good idea. You wanted to talk about the seasons, basically, from Yule to Imbolc, is that right?
Imbolc, yes.
And explain, there's a whole system that you shared with me via a text. You know, we have these little text prep sort of meetings Almighty Todd and I do before we discuss things with you in mind, on air. And you texted me this beautiful little circle with a star in it, and Yule is at the top, and that is December, and then it goes to Imbolc, which is February, and then so on. Astara,
yes.
Beltane, Litha,
yep.
Lugnasad. I don't know if I got that one right.
I'm not going to try that one either.
Is it
Mabon and Samain.
Now, where is this coming from, and what is this circle?
This is the basically the pagan calendar.
A pagan calendar.
Yeah, this is the very early celebrations throughout the year, and these are specifically, these are ones that other religions, like some we know, have laid their own feasts on top of.
Right, right, like Christmas.
Well, that's it. Christmas is the same time as Yule, essentially. And we've talked about this in the past. Yule is a little bit longer. It's like the 20th to the 25th. But why that is you're beginning the winter solstice. So you've got the darkest day of the year. And then the sun basically stays in the same position on the horizon for the next 3 days. And then around Christmas, it starts moving back along the horizon. So that's why the birth of the Savior happens on that. It's the return of the light. So and that's why you burn the Yule log all through that time, because you're keeping the light alive. And then Imbolc is we have laid the religion of Groundhog's Day on top of Imbolc, which is the halfway point. It's what's called a cross-quarter day in between solstice and equinox.
Mm.
Got it?
Mm-hmm.
So, and this, it's also named called Candlemas. You might have heard that term in Shakespeare, I think, at least. There's a reference. And it's basically means in the belly of the mother, because that's when spring is starting to happen. And that's when the lambing happens, or the livestock are getting ready to give birth. So they're producing milk. And it's the return, life reasserting itself after the darkness of the winter and the quiet. So this is an important season in our household, because this sacred season is the agreed upon objective truth of when the Christmas lights go up and when they come down.
So Yule to Imbolc, really?
Yes.
This is you and Andrea?
Yeah.
This is his wonderful wife, Andrea. A great artist, and she must have great patience as well. So you put them up.
She seems to lose it every now and again. I don't know where she puts it, but yes.
You got to keep her wine glass filled. That's the key. Oh, that was a good joke. I missed it. Okay. A little slow on the uptake. So you put them up in December and you take them down in February. You put up long.
Yeah. She likes having them on the porch just because it is dark at night and the night's long. So it's a little bit cheery. And then it's also they pop on just before she gets home so that they light the way into the yard.
Oh, you have like on a timer.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, but then it's like, and she would keep them all the way to like summer if she could, but it's like, no, we're going to, you know, her birthday's right around then. So it's at in bulk. So that's when we made the compromise, so to speak.
Now these words,
it took some legislation.
Well, you know, any good marriage, that's going to be the case.
You're listening to Troubadours and Rock on Tours with E.W. Conundrum Demure on WFTE Radio, Mount Cobb and Scranton, Pennsylvania. Community radio at its finest.
Now, these words, you know, Yule in bulk, what's the root? Do you know?
Celtic.
Celtic. Celtic.
Yes.
And that's where the paganism is rooted as well.
Mm-hmm.
But...
I'm just a part-time pagan. I don't claim to have that, you know, a lot of that under my belt in terms of knowledge of the cultural, the deep cultural references.
No.
You know, I look into it now and again. And there's Saint Brigid is the patron saint of Imbolc, and she was a fire and fertility goddess. That much I do know.
That's a crossover, Catholicism and paganism.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, that's it. But the Catholic Church does use a lot of the same. You know, there are definitely saints' days on these and other holidays. And, you know, they've done it. It was done. You know, wherever it went. You know, among the conquerors, even you know in Mexico, when the conquistadors wound up there. They laid stuff on top of existing days.
Like the Mayans or the Aztecs, their cultures, their religions, they just kind of laid on top of those significant dates.
Mm-hmm. And they were star watchers too. So there's an overlap a lot of time because of that, because these are based on – this is where an objective truth within a society was recognized and agreed upon that – there are actually these observations about the natural world that this time of the year, on this day, the sun's going to get that far on the horizon and it's going to be there and then it's going to move back and the days are going to start getting longer. And so you can use this as a way to mark time. Oh, we just know how a year just went by.
Right.
You know, and so we all still agree, I think, that this was 2020. Although I'm willing to bet there are some people that are doubting that right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, from what I heard, there are folks in the – I won't even say their group name because I think it's ridiculous to perpetuate it. But that the Nashville RV bomber terrorist was actually a Chinese missile strike.
But it's not – I mean, that's not true.
No. Not at all.
But they believe it. Why? Because it lines up with something that they follow.
It lines up with what their in-group says. Right. And so, you know, that objective reality doesn't matter. But so that's the slippery slope of, okay, how much of this do we agree on anymore? Because a lot of people seem to be sliding off the edge of the flat world.
Well, it goes back to what you were saying earlier, alternative facts, you know, that whole phrase and ideology, I guess we can call it. There aren't alternative facts. You know, you could have a spin that is different about a fact than someone else.
About what a fact means,
or right?
What you might want to derive from a fact, but,
right?
To deny the fact, to me, that's a violent act against sanity, and it's. it's the beginning of a breakdown of like, okay, we can't, that's antisocial behavior because we can't relate to one another if you're not going to recognize basic truths. So, I mean, you could do a cartoon right now, and it would totally make sense to people where you go out in a rainstorm, you bring an umbrella, and you're walking down the street, and there's somebody that's walking towards you, not with an umbrella, they're soaking wet, and they look at you, and they're like, oh, you're one of those people, you sheep. You believe it's raining because the weather people told you it was raining.
Right.
I'm not wet. You know.
Right.
You know, I don't need an umbrella. Don't take my freedom away telling me I should wear an umbrella in the rain.
Right, right. It's like it's almost like an adolescent mentality.
Yeah.
We talk about that all the time.
Yeah, it's obstinate and
immature.
Well, it's not just immature, it's I'm losing a word here that should be readily available to me, but it's oppositional simply for the sake of being oppositional.
Yeah. I know it's like a rebellion, but it's not a
rebellion without a cause.
Right, right. Yeah. And again, that's adolescent in a lot of ways. You just don't want to.
Which an adolescent means not a fully formed adult,
right?
In terms of being able to make decisions about reality. And there's a reason why the voting age is where it is, and the drinking age is where it is, and the other strictures on what you can do based on your age, because it takes a certain amount of time to develop some capacities. Thing is, some people, they may get past a chronological age, but they don't necessarily develop capacities beyond a certain chronological age.
That's one of the major problems we have right now, I think, in our society. Exactly. Yeah. That. Other, 'cause, people are not, most people have the capability. It's not being nurtured. It's not being cultivated. They don't have the skills and the information developed. Now, let's move on, though, because I know you wanted to talk, too, about – we talked from Yule to Imbolc. Now let's talk about winter sustenance. We have about 5 minutes or so.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Winter sustenance. We're going into the winter. We've been, a couple weeks in now, but we have a long way to go yet. And we have a pandemic to look at as well. Give us some winter sustenance, Almighty Todd.
Well, this was kind of what got me thinking about what happens between Yule and Imbolc, and that it is still the dark time of the year. I mean, if you're living in southern Florida, it's not that dark and it's not cold. So it may be different, but not quite the same. But there's still an opportunity here. It's an internal time of the year. In martial arts terms, when we practice, we think about how the year goes by and how our bodies move in the year, and how in summer it's free and easy and everything like that. You don't really have to think much about what you're doing. You just go for it. Spring and fall are kind of the most balanced practice between awareness of what's going on and the doing it. Winter time, our bodies are different. It's a little harder to engage in it the same way, but it's a better time to slow down and be more introspective about the practice, how our process is, what kind of changes are we making or seeing. And so this is the time of year when traditionally you're kind of back inside, and this is a good time to read or take up a craft or get back into a craft that you've done before. It's also, just from a well-being perspective, it's a good time to think about doing some stuff that we should think about doing all of the time, but it seems a little bit more accessible now. And that is just for our own balance, is to try and work on cultivating awareness, because it's very easy for us as pattern creatures to fall into our routine, and for our blinders to kind of to thicken and narrow. And anything we can do to try and open up our awareness beyond where it is right now, because I think that there's a long way our awareness capabilities can go, but circumstance tends to tighten them up.
Mm-hmm.
That expanding awareness, whether that means like starting to watch the birds around your house, or paying closer attention to the weather, or just paying attention to your own breath for a little while. You don't have to go into full meditation mode, or when you're out for a walk in the snow, listen to what the sound is like and how it changes with the temperature. Just little things like that, where you press outside of your normal, just being receptive, but actually looking for information in the world. And that's something that can also be turned inside too, in terms of, you know, okay, how am I feeling today? You know, mm-hmm. Why am I feeling like that? Am I just anxious today because I had too much coffee, or there's some stuff that's really bothering me that I maybe should be thinking about less, or maybe I need to think about more enough to take care of them so that I'm not thinking, you know, that kind of do self check in. And the second thing about awareness is that because awareness is this plastic thing, in terms of it can be wide open some days, you know, you're in a completely new environment in like the Grand Canyon and it's like, whoa, and you can smell the sagebrush and, you know, you can feel the dirt under your feet and it's like magical experience. And then there's also you're in front of your computer and it's like whoosh, the blinders are right around the side of your head and the world is a fairly small place. We even forget that we're sitting in a weird position. Is to, aside from being, try to work on awareness as a conscious practice, but to have a meta-awareness perspective, which is how aware am I today compared to other days? It's like, oh, I'm not really thinking about my back the way I should be because I'm doing some stuff I shouldn't because it's actually bothering me. You know, because keep a gauge on the awareness meter, so to speak. So the other thing that I've been contemplating and somebody that I respect kind of mentioned to me was just to work on connection to the outside world, because it's very easy for us to kind of get alienated, and especially in this pandemic time, our connections are much more limited than they normally are. But to kind of connect to the outside world, whether it's just a phone call with friends or a text, or again connecting to the birds or at your feeder and understanding not just that they're out there, but starting to see their patterns. You might even start recognizing individuals. Mm-hmm. And then to also think about connection to our own selves and our own – the purposes, the things that make us want to do what we want to do, and to have some gratitude as much as we can about our opportunity to be in the world and the opportunity to – you know, I like to cook and I get to make dinner for my family. That not to take that for granted, that's really a wonderful experience. Simple as it is, that it's something that we can take strength from and use to center ourselves. No, I just – because I feel like we're going to be in a very stressful time going forward, and I think that some really simple like mental health work on a preventative basis is going to be really important for all of us to kind of hold our center, to try and be in a place to recognize objective truth. Because if we don't hold our kind of like spiritual and mental center, it gets very easy to be distracted by what the outside world is doing. And sometimes the outside world is throwing you real insanity. And if you don't have a centered defense against that, you can wind up being pulled into that insanity and believing that that insanity is the world. So I feel much for my fellow countrymen that possibly have fallen into this state, and I hope that they will be released from it at some point. And I think that real introspection, real connection, checking in with the real world, is a way to get there.
I love it. Almighty Todd, it's always a pleasure to start a new season of Troubadours and Rock on Tours with you. Thank you again for being available at your place in Stockbridge, Vermont. Say hello to Andrea and all the animals, your donkeys and cats and dogs and such, and Vermont itself, a beautiful state. And I'll be talking with you again soon in 2021. Bon anno, fratello.
Grazie, fratello. Hey, you ciao, and I look forward to talking with you again. You be well. My love to the family.
Thank you, sir. Ciao.
Ciao. Hollywood.
Did you learn from some old romance book? Oh, it's been years since we talked. Is that rock band of yours still play? Or have you grown apart like we did? How did we ever go our separate ways? Must be someone else's heart who tainted mine. Why can't I be to blame for the story of this pain? Oh, it must be someone else's fault. Feels like I've gone crazy, like the women in my family usually. Can't seem to keep our heads on long enough to make it through. Ah, oh, but I'm still sensitive and stubborn, so cry more than a person should. But it's this feeling inside that's changed, like I've gone bad but the world is good. Must be someone else's fault. Must be someone else's heart tainted mine. And why can't I be to blame for the story of this pain? Oh, must be someone else's fault.
And now some actual facts as gathered by Harper's Magazine for their Harper's Index section in the December 2020 edition of this great magazine. Again, actual facts. Let's get started. Hypothetical median income of full-time U.S. workers if income were distributed as evenly as it was in 1975. $92,000 would be the median income of full-time U.S. workers. Actual median income of full-time U.S. workers today, $50,000. Percentage change since last year in the number of U.S. homes for sale, -35%. In the median home price, it went up 11%. Percentage of Americans aged 18 to 29 who live with one or both of their parents, 52%. Rank of this percentage among the highest ever recorded in the United States, 1. Portion of Americans who believe that someone will become a trillionaire during their lifetime, 1/2. Percentage of unpaid taxes that are owed by the richest 1% of Americans, 70% unpaid taxes. Factor by which the richest 1% of humanity is responsible for more carbon emissions than the poorest 50%, factor of 2 more. Portion of utility companies worldwide that are expanding the production of gas or coal more quickly than renewables, 9 out of 10 or 90%. Portion of Americans who have been exposed to unhealthy air this year as a result of wildfires, 1/7 of Americans. Number of the 20 largest wildfires in California's history that occurred this year, 5. Percentage of Americans who think climate change poses a risk to people living in the United States, 61%, who think it poses a risk to them personally, 43%. Percentage of coronavirus deaths that the average American believes occur among those aged 44 and younger, 30% percentage of corona deaths that have occurred among those aged 44 and younger, 3%. Percentage of Americans with symptomatic COVID-19 who deny having symptoms when asked by others, 34%. Who try to conceal their symptoms, 55%. Percentage by which men are more likely to try to conceal their symptoms than women, 32%. Percentage by which someone who trusts Fox News more than CNN was more likely in May to visit someone else's home, 9%. To have a visitor over to their own home, 14%. To attend a gathering of more than 10 people, 10%. Portion of Democratic or Democratic-leaning Americans who are trying to, quote, tune out coronavirus news, 1/5 or 20%. Of Republican or Republican-leaning Americans who are trying to tune out coronavirus news, 2/5 or 40%. Percentage of immigrant television characters last year who were portrayed as victims or perpetrators of crime, 22%. Who were portrayed as undocumented or seeking asylum, 63%. Estimated percentage of U.S. immigrants who are undocumented or seeking asylum, 24%.
Don't worry, you're gonna be happy. Keep working today, that smile will come one day. Don't worry, you're gonna be happy. Keep fighting today, that smile will come one day. Nothing comes for free, when you get it free, you will lose it freely. So you better know, work hard is the best way. Muffins come for free, when you get it free, you lose it freely. So you better know, work hard is the best way. Lest your hope come from fight, and go through your darkness, you'll find your light. Don't worry, you gotta be happy. Keep working today, that smile will come one day.
Foundation. Ridges and reefs, saviors, charlatans, and thieves. The clock on the steeple of town square. A train blows its horn as it travels over the stone trestle covered in vines as Summit Lake Creek flows alongside its foundation. And I think about the beauty and natural pace of this life.
Thank you.
Episode 402 of Troubadours and Raconteurs with yours truly, E.W. Conundrum Demure. Happy 2021 to you all, and let's hope for a great new year. I'd like to thank those folks who made this episode possible. First and foremost, Almighty Todd, Harper's Magazine, and these musical artists, Django Reinhardt, Stefan Grappelli, Kiwi Jr., Kat Edmondson, Courtney Marie Andrews, Songhoi Blues, The Beatles, Terrence Blanchard, and Brantford Marsalis, too. And of course, I'd like to thank you for listening. Until next time, let's do our best with this time. Take care.